So I get to follow not one, but two Lawrences today. Thanks, Brother Paul. You rock. So glad to be here with y'all today. I'm just happier than a hog laying in the sunshine to be here with y'all. Ain't God good to give us such a kingdom? I mean, none of y'all had to pay a dime to get in the doors this morning to be lifted up and exalted, not in yourselves, but in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'd like to talk about grace today, because that's been heavy, heavy on my mind. Now, somebody may say, big surprise, Primitive Baptist preacher talking about grace. Well, there are a lot of aspects of grace. And it's been heavy on my mind lately. And I tell you, in this day and age, when we need grace so badly, it just behooves us to just hunker down and meditate sometimes on those things that oftentimes we can take for granted. You know, well, what is grace? Grace basically just means favor. Now, we as Primitive Baptists have always said, and to a large extent, it's true that it's unmerited favor. But grace, when you get right down to the rudimentary meaning of it, it just means favor. Now, sometimes in the Bible, we see where men were able to obtain and find favor in the eyes of another, find grace in the eyes of another, because of something they were able to do or something they were able to offer. And you'll find something you may call grace, the world may call grace in the world today, when somebody does something or offers something to someone or they can benefit someone else. That's not unmerited. That's merited. We know our Lord Jesus Christ. Upon Him was the grace of God. Well, we know in Jesus Christ's case, every bit of favor that He had, that exuded from Him, was merited, okay? But we're not talking about those things. We're talking about, when we get up to preach the gospel, we're talking about the relationship between lowly, unworthy men who have nothing. We have nothing to offer. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Our throat is an open sepulcher. Our tongue's just used to eat, and our feet are swift to shed blood. We're talking about one who's a worm, one who's spoken of in the Word of God as the lowest of the low. And friends, I'll tell you what, we're even lower, as it were, than the animals, because animals kill for survival, or animals kill out of instinct. Mankind just decides to kill out of evil. You see, so when we're talking about grace between men and God, my friends, it is truly unmerited favor. But isn't it wonderful favor? Now, I'd like to talk about some of the ways in which we rely on grace. Because a lot of people today, they say grace, they sing Amazing Grace, but oftentimes they don't really believe some of the things they advocate. But friends, I want us to consider, I know I'm speaking to myself and regarding myself today, how badly I am in need of grace. I love what Brother Ronald told us about praying that the Lord would open our eyes and we may be able to behold wondrous things that are found in His law. Let's think about that grace just a minute. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, and you're going to see the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Now, as we read this, friends, we're going to see that Paul is praying that they would have greater enlightenment, that they would have greater revelation of knowledge. But I want you to understand, these are not unevangelized people. This is the church of Ephesus to whom he is addressing here. If you go over, my friends, you're not going to see that this is just some wild ragtag bunch in a lot of extent like we see addressed to the Corinthian church. If you go over to Revelation chapter 2, you're going to see that Ephesus, my friends, had a foundation of doctrine and of truth. But the problem is, they took some of those things for granted. Maybe they started using those things as a cudgel rather than a comfort to poor grieving sinners in this world. And friends, they had left their first love. And I'll tell you, God forbid that we should ever take grace for granted in such a way, and the things that God has revealed unto us. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15, He said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." How many times recently, friends, have y'all prayed, "Lord, bestow unto me enough grace, more grace, Lord, that I might be able to see Thy Word more clearly." Right. Now, as Brother Ronald ably preached, when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you have an ability to understand spiritual things and to read the Word of God. But friends, have you ever thought about how complex this belief thing is?
Yeah, right.
Have you ever thought? I used to think that if somebody was born again in the Spirit of God, they could readily just lap up everything about our teaching of grace. I felt confident from the very time I married my wife that she was a born again person, and I just felt like if I just presented to her when I came under conviction that I am going to just show her and she is going to lap it up. Friends, when we get to thinking that the gospel and gospel revelation is nothing more than a simple equation where we can plug in numbers or efforts and God is obligated to make it work, then friends, we've lost sight of His sovereignty and His power that is necessary to reveal unto us. I don't know everything about judicial blindness. I don't know everything about being able to see a higher level of truth. But friends, that God has shown me a higher level of truth. I thank Him for His amazing grace. And I'll tell you, I try to pray frequently that He will do with me as He did the church at Ephesus, and that He would pray for me, that you would pray for me, that I could pray for you, that we have increased enlightenment. I'm going to tell you what, the Lord must grant the vision, but He also must grant the clearer vision.
Amen.
It's not just some simple formula that we can just take for granted. We look at an account over in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, He came to Bethsaida, and this is beginning in verse 22, and He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto Him, and besought Him to touch him. Now I think the Lord Jesus Christ here is about to use a physical blindness to teach us a wonderful lesson, not only about receiving salvation, how you receive the ability to see, how you receive the Spirit of God, but also, my friends, how you're able to grow in that. He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes. Now somebody may say, that sounds dreadful. Well, if you spit in my eye, that's dreadful. If Jesus spits in my eye, it's glorious. If Jesus spits in my eye, it's grace. Because I want you to notice what's taking place here. This man was not able to see physically. And that is just like us before we're born again in the Spirit of God. Spiritually, we're not able to see. But what did Jesus do? Friends, what do we see taking place here? We see the very substance of the person of Christ applied to one who's totally unworthy.
Right.
And I can tell you what, friends, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind, but now I see because of the grace of the Lord. There came a time in my life when His Spirit came and the very substance of the meritorious work of Christ on the cross was applied to me, and I was quickened and I was changed. Don't give me any hollow log doctrine. No, my friend. He's changed me. I'm not what I used to be. Praise His name. Because of His grace.
Right.
This man was never going to have to be born again. Like what Brother Frank told us last night. Regeneration happens one time. It's monergistic. Holy the work of the Lord. But friends, I might be converted before this day is over. I don't know. I hope I am. I hope that I can get closer to the Lord. Drawing nigh unto Him. That He'll draw nigh unto me.
Right.
But I can only do it because He gives me the ability to do it. He gives me the Spirit to do it. My friends, He gives me the light to do it. So here, he asked him if he saw aught. So here the substance has been applied. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Okay, he wasn't looking at a basketball team. He was not able to see clearly. He was able to see form. He was able to see vision. But friends, he wasn't able to see distinctly the way things actually were, because these weren't trees walking.
Right.
These weren't men as tall as trees walking. He needed some clarity to his vision.
Amen.
Now somebody may say, well, it'll clear itself up.
No,
it didn't. You know what Jesus did? Jesus laid His hands upon him.
Yeah.
Now Jesus didn't apply spittle to him again.
Right.
He doesn't say that. He didn't need to do that again. But friends, I'm going to tell you what, we need to be praying for the hands of Jesus Christ that bore those nail prints for us, be laid upon our understanding day in and day out, that we might be able to see and know more. Because I got good news for you, friends. The things that you know today are giving you a salvation and a power that billions and millions and billions of people in this world don't have. And they tremble because of it. And they fear about despots like Vladimir Putin and all of the Pol Pots and the Adolf Hitlers in this world. They think evil is in control. But my friends, we know the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Why? Because not only has He given you the spiritual vision to see, but He laid His hands upon you and blessed you that you went from unclear vision to a more clear vision. Oh, friends, I used to see men as trees walking. But I'll tell you, I thank to be unto God, my friends, that God sent men and women, grandmothers, and even children sometimes into my life to show me things that I was not able to see more clearly. When somebody showed me the concept of the Jews being judicially blinded, it cleared up a lot for me. When somebody showed me the distinctions between justification by blood and grace and faith and works, it really cleared a lot up for me. And friends, it wasn't just some academic exercise. Oh yes, now I see and I'll be able to present this to someone else. No, it reached my soul when I saw these things. Friend, I can't explain to somebody. See, you know what? It ain't my job to make somebody feel Jesus through His Word. That's not my job. My job is to commend these things to the consciences and minds of men, and I'm thankful that that is something I can do by the help of the Lord and by His grace. What are some other things we take for granted? Another one's been heavy months prayer. Just as fundamental a thing to a child of God as can be. What about in our Christian life? Prayer. And somebody may say, well, I pray. Hopefully we do like Brother Ronald says. And as far as sitting down and doing some really groveling, deep, lengthy prayers, I fail at that quite frequently. But friends, how often during the day do we just whisper, Lord, help that person? I'm going to tell y'all something. And my wife can attest this to be the truth. Every time I pass somebody on a motorcycle, I say, Lord, please watch over that person.
Yeah.
Bless that person. Now somebody may say, well, he's against motorcycles. Yes, I'm against motorcycles. I'm an old ER nurse and a pastor. I've preached the funerals for people who've been destroyed by them through no fault of their own. And I have sent many of people to the morgue that's been torn up by them. Now, I'm not, somebody say, he doesn't quit preaching, going to meddling. Now, that's all this, but I'm telling you, I'm going to pray for you if I see you on it. And we ought to be praying. We ought to be praying the Lord to give us more grace to pray, even if it's just a little Nehemiah prayer before the king. Lord, give us the grace to pray. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 said, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What does infirmities mean? It means basically our weaknesses, our illnesses, our sicknesses, all those things that are contrary and against these bodies in which we live. He said, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. How? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us in groanings which cannot be uttered.
Right.
Friends, when you go to the Lord in prayer, how oftentimes do you get distracted?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll get down in my little bower of prayer, or I'll get my car cranked up on the way to that eye laser surgery center in the morning, and I say, I'm going to spend some time in prayer. And I'm not going to shock you with the horrid things that can go through my mind while I'm supposed to be sanctified between myself and the Lord in prayer. You know what I need? I need the Spirit to make intercession for me in groanings which cannot be uttered.
Yeah.
How many times do you come across people that are in agony because they have a cousin or a son or a daughter or whoever it be? Or maybe they're in the throes of drug addiction. Maybe they're battling from cancer. Maybe they're having a hard time financially. Maybe their heart's sick and sore. Or maybe, like my son has recanted his faith in God and is living an atheistic life, although I don't believe there's such a thing as an atheist. Okay, I believe there are people that claim that, but I don't believe there are actually atheists out there. I believe every human creature must know that there is a Creator and that we're subject to Him.
Yeah.
Okay? And we hear things about that all the time. And we say, I've got to remember to pray. I've got to remember to pray. How often do you remember? Not nearly as often as we'd like, do you?
Right.
But we've got the Spirit making intercession for us, groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes when you think about all the needs of prayer, you think about this person, that person, this person's elderly, this person's having marital problems. And you know what? We get inundated and we get confused. I don't know about y'all. I'm not, you sisters, I mean, why do y'all only have four limbs? Y'all should have at least six or seven because y'all can work, baby. I mean, y'all can work things. My wife has about 15 trails of thought going on. We were on the way here and Sister Eileen Waddle called. And Sister Eileen Waddle has been getting ready for our annual meeting second Sunday weekend in April. Plug, y'all come, second Sunday weekend in April. he's thinking about chicken strips, tater salad, cream potatoes, and all these things. And you know what? I've barely had the presence of mind to pray for Elder Heath Williams and Elder Marty Smith who are coming to me. I've tried to pray for these sisters that are going through these things. But I'm not like that. I don't know if y'all are. But when I get to thinking about too many things at once, I get overwhelmed. And what happens? I tend to shut down. But you know what? That's why I need the grace of the Almighty Father. And that gives me intercession and the Holy Spirit of God and groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, wonderful. How wonderful it is that we have grace. What about your... We go to Luke chapter 12. Another thing. People say, well, you know, I can get it done. I'll go and get an education. I'll go and get a job. That's what I used to think. I used to think, well, I'll go to nursing school. I'll become a nurse. And then I'll be making lots of money. I'll be rich. Oh, good gracious. How stupid was I? And I'll go and buy me a beach house. Oh, my goodness. I had no idea what real estate was like. And I had it all mapped out. And I said, here's what this is going to be. That? And God said, oh, yeah? All right. Okay. Yeah. The Lord knows how to break dogs from sucking eggs, okay? And that's what He did for me, okay? He brought me down to a level where, friends, I don't have the time to exercise and do all these other things. Why? Because I'm constantly feel like I'm studying and reading for the very next sermon that's right around the bend. I find a hard time getting down and studying because there's only so much time. And some of that time has to be spent trying to make a living, okay? But we think, well, it's not that big of a deal. You go out, you get it done. Do we often stop and think how greatly we need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our daily provision?
Amen. Right.
The air you breathe, the gravity that keeps us stuck to this sorry earth. Okay? All the provision, no matter what it is. Penicillin shot. I went to the doctor and got a penicillin shot. Well, did you thank God for that penicillin? Did you thank God for the medical, the Z-Pak, whatever the case was? Because friends, I'll tell you, we have received grace, okay, by the Lord Jesus Christ for these things. Notice what He says about this provision concept. In Luke chapter 12, He said unto His disciples, verse 22, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for your body what ye shall put on. Now He's not saying just don't be totally thoughtless. But He's saying here, don't be worried about it.
Right.
Don't worry. Do y'all know anybody who's a worrier? Y'all know? Yeah. 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 Stop it, friends. Stop it. Okay, that's one of the salvations the gospel will give you. Okay, perfect love casteth out fear. And the more mature and perfect your knowledge of the unfailing love of Jesus Christ is, the more you'll be able to cast out all that fear.
Yeah.
We heard wonderful preaching from Brother Craig last night. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'll tell you, the more you dwell in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and you walk in that love, the less you'll find yourself stewing and worrying. Okay? Here He said, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat. The body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. He said, the Lord take care of the ravens. He said, which of you, verse 25, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit?
Right. Yeah.
Have you thought about that? Are you able to think yourself handsome? A lot was Brother Colton's over here. Yeah, I can. No, you can't. You ugly like me, Colton Stewart. You can think yourself. You can think that you're handsome. But you can't think it to make it happen. Let me specify that, okay? We're talking about something that's purely subjective. It can't work objectively, okay? You can't think yourself taller. You can't think you're more hair on your head, whatever the case may be. A lot is said about the power of positive thinking. And in psychological aspects, there's a lot to be said for positive thought. But friends, I'll tell you, when it comes to making dynamic change in this world, it takes the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right. And if you can't think yourself taller, if you can't think yourself prettier, notice what He said about this. You can't by thought add one cubit to you. Notice how Jesus said, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least.
Yeah.
Have you thought about that? You being able to pay your bills, feed your children, keep your job, enjoy the provisions you have today is considered, my friends, not the least. Somebody would say, you know, if I had the mindset to be able to make myself taller or prettier or more handsome, then that would be a miraculous thing. And you know what? It would.
Amen.
But I want you to understand something. Next time you put that morsel of food in your mouth, when you get that macaroni and cheese back there, whatever the case may be, you understand something, my friends. If Jesus didn't give it to you, you wouldn't have it. It's a grace. It's a favor of God unto you.
Amen.
Now, there are lots of things I don't know about the providence of God, but there's a lot of things I do know.
Right.
That it's by grace.
Amen.
Let's turn this back to salvation. If you can't think with your mental acuity to make yourself taller, Jesus said that's the least. How in the world would you be able to bridge the gap between being dead in trespasses and sins and alive in Christ?
Right.
How do you think? Well, we think about the prayer. The Spirit maketh intercession for us in groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me tell you, if you don't know how to pray for doubt, how can you pray yourself out of a devil? Out of a, I said devil's hell. It ain't devil's hell. It's God's hell. How are you going to pray yourself out of eternal condemnation and eternal favor with God? You can't do it.
Amen.
But the Spirit can.
Right.
The Spirit, my friends, quickens you and brings you into everlasting life. That's why we're told the only reason you called out Abba Father is because you've already got the Spirit of adoption.
Right. Right.
You've already been brought into the family. In effect, in a vital relationship, you have been born again of the Spirit of God. Same thing here. I mean, friends, if you can't get peanut butter and jelly like you ought to, how in the world are you going to think your way into eternal salvation in Jesus Christ? You can't do it.
Right.
But you know what? Grace, my friends. Oh, I'll tell you, the law was by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He can, and He does. Think about natural pain. I know I've got to hurry up along here. I'm trying to cover a lot of ground really fast. I've just been thinking so many of these aspects. Natural perils. And, you know, Brother Jeff was here yesterday. I hate I missed hearing him speak. I think so very highly of the dear brother. A wonderful gift. Wonderful. I feel sorry for my wife having to have me as her pastor. And look, I don't know if I'm chasing a rabbit here, but you folks out there need to have mercy on the preacher's wives.
Amen.
Okay? All right? Because, you know, the preacher's wife has to depend on her husband as a pastor if she's a member of the church. But she also sees him when he's got spinach in his teeth. Okay?
Amen.
Yeah, I ain't going to go any further than that. But she sees and knows things that y'all don't see and know about your pastor, and things you don't want to see and know about your pastor. Y'all need to pray for these pastors' wives.
Amen.
I wish, you know, if I was, Brother Jeff Winfrey would be kind of a type of person that I'd want as my pastor. He just has such an arresting character about him. Just love him so much. But you know, the Dawson Springs Church and the natural disasters that came through, and it's so natural for us as human beings, and we're tainted with sin, to ask why. Okay? I want to read for you some 1 Kings chapter 19. You know, the background of this is Elijah is discouraged. And now Elijah has been led by God to Mount Sinai. And here it is, God is fixing to allow him to see a great display. Okay? Notice here, after Elijah said, "Oh, they've slain thy prophets with the sword. They've thrown down thine altars. They've murdered them. And now they're seeking my life. Woe unto me. Pity party, pity party."
Right.
Notice what he said here. Verse 11, he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains." I noticed the wind was kind of gusting against my car at certain points this morning. But friends, that's nothing compared to a wind that is so strong that it can rend the mountains and the rocks.
Right.
And that's what he saw. We're seeing an unbelievable display of natural power. And by natural power, I mean according to this universe.
Yeah.
Okay? "Great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." Now somebody may say, "Wow, the Lord's really, really putting it on old Elijah. He's really scaring him. The Lord..." You know, wait a minute though. The Lord was not in the wind.
Right.
What does that mean? Let's go on. The Lord wasn't in the wind. "And after the wind, an earthquake." Here was a power so sufficient at the same time that the wind were rending the rocks. The move. The earth was moving. The tectonic plates were shifting under the feet. But you know what? It said the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then a fire. Do you think it was a campfire, bonfire? No. It must have been a dreadful, fearful fire. The Lord wasn't in the fire. Now somebody can say, "I just don't understand that." Wait a minute now. If it's there, and this is the simplistic mindset of a lot of people who don't go to the Word of God. If it's there, then God is absolutely of His volition. He's the one that made it and put it there. And they'll extend that broad brush to children getting molested, banks getting robbed, all of these things. Friends, let me tell you something. When it comes to how we speak about God, we're supposed to present God in according to the way which He gives us to present Him.
Amen. Right.
We're not supposed to go to logical ends and say, well, it makes sense to me. It made sense to Lightfoot, or it made sense to Calvin. No. Friends, I'll tell you, you go to the Word of God and you talk to people about God in the way that God would have you talk to people about Himself.
Right.
This is what He's giving you.
Right.
And I'm not finding God as the author of sin.
Amen.
He's not the author of confusion.
Amen.
No, my friends. He is a God of order. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of peace and goodness. Now, He's also a God of judgment and a God of wrath.
That's right.
But friends, you've got to be very careful about the statements you make against God. Somebody may say, well, every single thing that happens, God is in it. God has either made it happen of His own active volition, or every single thing He suffers, there's some hidden thing behind it that God is utilizing for His glory and for our good. Now, let me tell you something. I do not doubt, and I've told y'all this before, I do not doubt that God's powerful enough to do that. Amen? I have no doubt that God is powerful enough to do that. But when I read the Word of God, I doubt that's how He works. Because there are too many statements in the Word of God that refute that, right? But Brother Joe, here was the fire, and here was the wind, and here was the earthquake, all at the same time in one episode. Undoubtedly, God is the only one who caused that to happen. Friends, I want you to understand something. There's a distinction between what God causes to happen and what God suffers to happen.
Right.
Now you may say, well, Brother Joe, there's no way you could have an earthquake, a wind that strong, and a fierce fire all in one place unless it's San Francisco. Okay? You know, someplace like that. Okay, no, this is even above and beyond San Francisco. God have mercy on all those sodomites and evil people out there. God have, Lord, God in your mercy. But I'm going to tell you what, here was something powerful going on. It was all going on at the same time. It was all going on before one man's eyes. You understand something, friends. When Adam fell, this earth, not just this earth, the entire universe came under a curse of sin.
That's right. That's right.
Do y'all realize, friends, that this natural world realm in which we live, were it not for the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it would have ripped us apart long ago? We see tornadoes and we see monsoons and we see hurricanes, and people think, well, God sent that. Now, God can send it for a reason. But should that be the automatic assumption? Again, we need to be judicious. We need to be cautious and measured. But at the same time, friends, what if God just simply in that one spot, because it pleased Him to do it, He removed His restraint from this natural creation? Think about the restraint that God has over the wicked.
Yep.
Think about the restraint God has over natural perils.
Right.
You know, He who now letteth will let until He be what? Taken out of the way. Okay? Alright? I want you to consider, my friends, every day that you live, that meteorites are not falling on your head. The earth is not opening up and swallowing all of us down. The fires like that aren't burning. The winds like that aren't blowing. And the earth like that ain't quaking. Why? Not because this place isn't under the curse. And not because it's not able. But I believe the Lord, my friends, and His restraining grace is restraining all that as a mercy to us. So I would encourage you, when you see somebody die in a tornado or in whatever the natural case may be, or whatever the death may be, understand something, my friends. That the only reason we're still here to muse about that is because God's restraining grace has allowed you to live that long.
Right.
And had it not been for that, we surely would have been consumed a long time ago. Psalm 76:10 says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain.
Amen.
What does that mean? Well, first off, if all of the evil and wickedness of men in this world was for the honor and glory of God, in an immediate way, then that verse doesn't make any sense, right? Because He said, the wrath of man shall praise thee, but then He says there's a remainder, right? Okay? But notice, the wrath of man shall praise thee. Sometimes God suffers things to unfold. Not because He's an unkind God, but because we need to be reminded that He is a just God.
Yes.
That He is a right God. That He is a perfect God. And that He is we are unworthy to be in His presence.
Amen.
Friends, Elijah saw that day. Okay, God didn't make this earth sin cursed, but thanks be unto God, He's got His hand of restraint on top of it. Amen?
Yeah.
I think we're coming to a time where that restraint is being lifted off. We see it prophesied in multiple places. Friends, don't lose heart. God has never left you nor forsaken you.
Amen.
And I can tell you what, if the Russians shoot me today dead, all they've done is help me go to glory quicker. Amen?
Amen.
Friends, I want you to understand the grace that we enjoy of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are other places I wanted to go. But I want to close, Lord being my helper, with a concept that all these things kind of somewhat come back to salvation if you look at them from certain perspectives. How much grace do you need to be saved? Somebody may say, well, yeah, I'm saved by grace because I... Now, wait a minute now. What did you have to offer unto God? Brother Kevin and I were talking this morning. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I personally believe there he's saying that what the way faith can save you, that is a grace, and it's been given you of God. But it is the gift of God, not only that he bestowed it upon us, but that term gift from the Greek basically means an oblation, something that is offered up to God. What in the world do you have to offer to an almighty, thrice holy God, where it said in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah himself said that the seraphims, he saw them crying, holy, 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 the Lord God of hosts, that the earth is full of his glory. Friends, what do you have to offer that God? What do you have to ingratiate yourself to that God? You have nothing to offer Him, my friends, other than that which He works in you.
Amen.
A lot of people out there have been sold a bill of goods. They've been told, well, you've got to have faith to save yourself from hell. You know what faith is not about? Faith is not about you. Faith is not about you. Faith is given you. Faith benefits you. Faith reveals things to you. You walk by faith, and if you don't walk by sight, you walk by that faith, you'll always be better off. Oh, there are multiple benefits to faith.
Amen.
But faith ain't about you. Okay? Faith is about honoring the Lord. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Believing that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, there are many benefits in faith. But if we ever present faith as a means to keep you, or to do something for you, then friends, our perspective is all awry.
Yeah.
Our faith, oh, we sing that song, my faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Okay? How is it you can come to that faith? How is it you can make a step down the aisle? How is it you can confess the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Friends, I'll tell you, it's by His grace. It's by unmerited favor alone. He has worked it in you. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, I think he says, when he tells us that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, neither can any man say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You see, your motives. And people say, well, you just do this good work. You've been left responsible for this one act of the law that Jesus didn't keep for you fully. And now you just have to keep that one thing. They'll plug in all kinds of different things about what you have to do. This is the test, though. And this is the question that I think you need to ask people when they encourage people and they give that commandment unto you. First off, over in Galatians chapter 3, I think it's around verse 21, he said, for the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, for we thus judge, that constraineth verse. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the righteousness by faith of Jesus Christ might be given them that believe. Okay?
Yeah.
Friends, understand something. He also said in that same context, for if there had been a law given, which could have given life, then verily righteousness should have been by the law. He didn't say the law, he said a law. So when people say this is all you have to do to get born again, this is all you have to do, right now at this moment you're damned for hell and eternal woe and misery and shame, but all you have to do is this. Somebody said, that's not that big of a deal. It is, my friends, it is an impossible deal.
Yeah.
It is an impossible deal. Why? Because, friends, what makes a good work? Giving $1 million? Evil despots everywhere will give somebody $1 million. That's not a good work, necessarily. No, we're talking about not a good work between men. We're not talking about interpersonal. We're talking about a good work as it relates to God.
Amen.
What's a good work? Well, I went and helped. I went and saved a bunch of orphans out of an orphanage fire. Okay. Well, friends, that benefits those children. Amen.
Right.
But if you just did it to get your name in the paper, or out of some habit that's been worked in you, or whatever the case may be, you know, theoretically, is that a good work unto God? Friends, the problem is this. If a work is not done out of a proper motive,
right,
it is not a good work to God. How did he summarize the entirety of the righteousness of the law? Love the Lord thy God. Love thy neighbor. Is it any accident that he boils it all right down to something that has to come from something that you can't just produce? It has to be something that is worked in you.
Amen.
Okay? So it doesn't matter what it is. The one thing they tell you to do. Friends, if you can ever do it in a way that it would be acceptable unto God, that means you already have the right motive, and that only comes from one place. And that comes from the Lord. Over in Proverbs 17:16, I was talking to Brother Kevin about this morning. Over in Proverbs 17:16, he wrote this. See if I can remember to quote it. He said, "Wherefore is there the price of wisdom in the hand of a fool, seeing he hath no heart unto it?" What's he saying there? He said, there's all kind of prices you can demand of people for spiritual wisdom, and that's what's under consideration. I'll tell you, you can go rob a bank and get you 10 degrees as long as you don't get caught, and you've got all kind of natural wisdom. Obviously, he's talking about spiritual wisdom. What is the price we're going to tell people they have to pay to obtain spiritual wisdom? In other words, to be born again, to be saved from this natural realm. What is the price you're going to impose on those people? Well, I'm going to tell you what, my friends, unless they've already got the heart for it, it's a fool's errand.
That's right.
It's a fool's errand. I thank God, my friends, that there came a time when, again, I saw men as trees walking, but I got to see things a little more clearly. And when people challenge you, yes, we do believe, you should repent. You should confess the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I like what Brother Frank said last night. Why tarriest thou?
Right.
Somebody may say, well, I think I've already said that. How much boldness can you say that you're saved by grace when you'll willfully disobey the Lord Jesus Christ, who established a place for you, a means for you to enter in through baptism, and a place for you to walk in peace and prosperity spiritually for the rest of your life?
Right.
It's here before you, my friends. Yeah. If you have been touched by the substance of Jesus Christ and you've been made to see these things, then I pray that, my friends, the Lord will touch you one more time, that you won't just see men as trees walking, but that you will walk and do that thing that you're supposed to do. But it tells me in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. Friends, I'll tell you today, there's no clearer way to know today that you're walking after the Spirit of God than with a motive of honor to God, to get up and motor matriculate yourself up to the front and tell people, I love Jesus.
Right.
I'm a sinner and I'm unworthy of Him, and I'm unworthy to be a member of this austere, wonderful, august family, but I desire it.
Amen.
To His honor and glory.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, you need to be out making disciples if you're a believer.
Yes.
And the best way to make disciples is have a place to disciple them to.
Amen. Right.
And if you're not a member of it, why in the world are they going to take one whit about what you say?
Right.
Join. Repent. My friends, repent and be saved today. That's right. Be saved in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be unburdened of those things that you're walking around with and the condemnation. Many times you may not even know it until, my friends, you have the experience. But I'll tell you today, repent, child of God. Why tarriest thou? Come and join the church. Walk in it, my friends. Walk with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, because He's got wonderful things to show you out of His wondrous law. I thank y'all. God bless you. God bless you. I love you. It was loud. Yeah.